His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit and rap for power? You son bitches, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Still trying to get that message, black power, black power, more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. This is Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and the smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. I count this an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you, my brothers and my sisters, and the others. From this platform, from this revolutionary radio broadcast, the official broadcast of the new Black Panther Party, talking about Black Power Radio. Have to send you greetings of peace in whatever your language is. If you say Assalamu Alaikum, if you say Hotel, you say Shalom, Shalom, I say peace to the God, peace to the earth. Or if you say what up, I say peace to you all. We say black laws for all black people. We say freedom or death. And we welcome you to Black Power Radio. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, I have to let you know right in the door, straight off the bat, this is not no Millie Mouth radio show. This is not a radio show where we'll be explaining away everything. This is not the kind of radio show where we'll be tiptoeing through the tulips. This is not even a radio show where we will be tickling your fancy. This is the kind of radio show where you will hear bold, uncompromising, unmixed, untampered with, undiluted black power, black nationalism, revolutionary Pan-Africanism, and them teachings that got your great-grandmother and great-grandfather up to fight this no-good bastard and go for freedom. I open up as I'm taught by the Black Power General and our national chairman with the help of the almighty wise, true, and living God, the black God, not the God of that white man, the black God. I give thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers. One day we'll talk about why we say that. I give thanks to our ancestors and those who took lives and gave lives and made an ultimate sacrifice, the originators of geometry, the originators of algebra, the originators of engineering, the originators of agriculture, the originators of government, the originators of law and science, our people. That's right, our people, the black man, the black woman, that African man, that African woman, that original man, that original woman, our people, the people who have been the most mistreated here in the hills of North America and all throughout the world. We give thanks for our people, our ancestors, who showed us what a real civilization looks like so that we don't have to compare it to this weird, crappy civilization, this devilish, decadent civilization that we see in the hills of North America. We're thankful for the great empires of Timbuktu and Mali and all of that which is ours, even down into what they call Mexico, all of that. We're thankful for all of that that our people built long before there was a white man and white woman on the scene. Giving thanks for the freedom fighters and those who, when that period of time came where our people fell into servitude, slavery, and we lost our names and we lost our language, when we lost our culture, lost our folkways, lost our forays, lost our norms, and lost the power of our own being, we're thankful for that almighty, wise, true, and living God for sending warriors amongst our people and sending those who in their spirit and in their person, they would not take the situations going on against our people. They give you a story on the movie like all of our people just acquiesced and like we just accepted the slavery in the hells and smells of North America. I'll be damned, our people fought all the time. Every single instance that you can name and think of where our people were forced into conditions that were not equal or righteous, our people fought all the time. The greatest example you got is when you look at Haiti and how our people kicked the white man all up out of Haiti and ran him all up out of there and ran him out of there and won that revolution. And today you see the Haitian people still feeling the effects because of that victory, because now the white man's trying to conquer that land back. We'll talk about that another show. Giving thanks to all of the Panther regiments, those who stood up in Lowndes County, those who stood up out of Oakland, California, and definitely giving thanks to our formation today, beginning in Dallas, Texas in 1989 and still standing in 2012, going into 2013, by the grace of Almighty God, still standing, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We got to give thanks for a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man, 100% black man, who was uncompromising, unrelenting, unflinching with the enemy, who said his purpose on this planet was to give our oppressor, the people who heaped the most hell on us, the people who, again, took us from our original land and our original names and took us out of our own mind. He said his purpose was to give them the hell that they had given to us and to organize us into a standing, fighting, new, liberated black man and black woman. I'm speaking of the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, Black Power. And we give thanks for a black man that's standing up in the hells and smells of North America, who, if the call came, he could have said he didn't want to take his destiny. He could have said he didn't want to stand up and fight. He could have just got back comfy. This man is an attorney at law. He could have just laid back comfy and kicked his feet up and said, I'm just going to slink back into my profession and to hell with what's going on with you Negroes. To hell with what's happening in the community. He could have did like so many others and punked out when it came time to stand up and be bold. But instead of punking out, this black man stood strong. And this black man organized not only one chapter, but several chapters all throughout the hells and smells of North America in the name of the Black Power General and his mentor and teacher, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. I'm talking about the attorney at war, a brother who is fighting on a daily and consistent basis to organize our people and get us through these turbulent times and reignite the spirit and reignite the cause of black power. I'm talking about the attorney at war, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. And so we give thanks and say black power to you as we welcome you to Black Power Radio. And I just had to get all that out to you. Sorry about the long intro, but we got to give thanks because we're standing on some shoulders. We're standing on some shoulders. Even though we're in hard times, we're standing on some shoulders that have paid a hell of a cost. And they talk about the Jewish or the so-called Jewish Holocaust. And they give you a Schindler's list, but we know that it's really a swindler's list, because that African and the black man here in America has went through that hell of a cause. And although they got out of their ghettos, and although they're not facing the gas chambers and facing the things that they face, we're still in the ghetto. The black man and black woman still in the hood, still facing execution right now today. So we pick a hell of a topic tonight. Our topic, we're talking about defending and developing black youth. Developing and defending black youth. Are we our own worst enemy? Are we our worst enemy? We're going to look at that tonight, because that has become the new topic of discussion amongst many in the quote-unquote conscious community, and it has become the topic of discussion amongst the so-called unconscious. Now we're saying it is us. We are our worst enemy. And we have to look at the facts now, that it is undeniable that the black man, black woman, the black youth are running buck wild in many cases throughout the hells and smells of North America. In many cities in America, murder and crime at an all-time high. Disrespect of the elders and the women at an all-time high. You look at robbery. You look at rape. You look at homicide. You look in some cases at even arson. And now you see in our communities, the black man and the black woman, in particular the black youth, in some cases behind much of that. And so we have to be wise in this hour and ask the real question: what's driving the black youth? What is it that is causing the black youth to move in the manner that the youth are moving? And is it an evil force that's driving our youth, or is it something divine? Is it something that's righteous, or is it something that's wicked? We have got to talk tonight, because the black community is still in a state of emergency. And to be honest, we're in a worse condition now than what we were in 1966 or 56 or even 76. The black community is in a worse condition. And when you look at us today, you can hardly tell that a Minister Malcolm X came amongst us. You look at us today, you can hardly tell that the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey came amongst us. You look at us today, you can barely tell that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad came amongst us. You can barely tell that we ever had a Queen Harriet Tubman, or a Queen Assata Shakur, or a Queen Angela Davis, or any of our queens, or any of the brothers of the kings. You can hardly tell, because when you look at the condition of our community, it appears that there's hopelessness in the land. The outer appearance in many, not all, the outer appearance in many is that there's nothing that can be done with these youth. There's nothing that can be done with those that are joining so-called gangs and street tribes, street organizations. There's nothing, many of you say, that can be done with those who are being incarcerated and are spending their time in juvenile detentions. So we have to attack it, and we have to attack it wisely tonight on Black Power Radio. So we have with us tonight many of our best and brightest from around the country who deal regularly with youth. I'm talking about, when I say youth, I mean, of course, the young toddlers. I mean the young adolescents. And even when I say youth, I'm talking about those that are in their teens, those that are in their 20s, in some cases even, hell, early 30s, if you want to consider yourself a youth like that. We have with us tonight those who have dealt regularly with youth and who deal regularly with youth, and we want to ask them, and we want you to ask them, what's going on with the youth? What's going on in the minds and hearts of our youngsters that many of them can kill someone who looks just like them and think nothing about it. But yet when you call them to do something positive, when you call them to do something to build up our true nature, our true black history, our true culture, our true nation, many of them run away. Many of them duck and hide. Many of them punk out. What's going on with our children? We have to say this. These are our babies. So many criticize the youngsters and criticize the youth, but you have to know these are your babies. I don't care how much killing they're doing, robbing they're doing, shooting they're doing. They're our children. And so that means that as a community, we're going to have to tackle the issue. We're going to have to now begin to think of some real situations and some real solutions. Some real solutions, because you know this job thing ain't getting no easier. Many of them say it's economics. So this job thing ain't getting no easier. But let me just read some statistics as I bring before us a sister like Sister Akua, who deals with youth and who has written her own children's book and is an author. Let me kick the statistics as I bring to you a Sister Chrissy, who has developed youth programs and now is dealing with the youth with the Panther Cub program covered under the Blood Soldiers. Let me kick the statistics as I bring to you a brother like Brother Shaw, who's in the streets in the Ministry of the Community Programs, the New Black Panther Party, and he's dealing on a daily and consistent basis with warring projects and gang violence. Let me tell you the statistics as I bring forth to you a brother like Brother Mike, who is our regional representative of the West Coast and who deals on a daily and consistent basis with the youngsters and the youth and the violence that is out there in L.A. We got to talk tonight. We have to talk tonight, because as it stands right now, when you're talking about unemployment in America, 1 out of 4 black women and 1 out of 3 black men ages 18 to 24 are unemployed. I'm going to say it again. 1 out of 4 black women and 1 out of 3 black men ages 18 to 24 are unemployed. Among our people, 66% of those who are employed say that their job is not within their chosen field or profession, as compared to 53% of Latinos and 40% of whites. When you're talking about no paid leave, 52% of young blacks who went to work because they were sick, they went to work because they couldn't afford to lose their pay. 52% of us go to work sick because we can't afford to lose pay, as compared to 44% of the so-called Latinos and 38% of the whites. These are things we got to talk about. If you're talking about education, 39% of us, 39% of us, bachelor's candidates, completed a bachelor's degree within just 6 years. So only 39% of us. Okay, when we're talking about the education gap, which has widened since the 1980s, 39% of us blacks who are bachelor's candidates completed a bachelor's degree within 6 years. The percentage of us who are with the bachelor's degree grew only 12% from the 80s to 21% up in 2011. I'm talking about disparities, black man and black woman. If we're talking about murdering and shooting and killing, 1 out of 9 black men aged 25 to 29 was in prison or jail by 2009, as compared to 1 in 27 of the Chicano, or the Latinos they call them, and 1 out of 60 from white males in the same age group. 1 out of 9 ages 25 to 29 in jail, compared to 1 out of 27 from the Chicano and 1 out of 60 from the white man and white woman. We have to talk tonight, black man and black woman. 51.7% of the Latinos and 33.8% of blacks ages 24 to 35 are uninsured, compared to 20.8% of whites in the same age. I mean, I could just go on and on and on, but we got to talk tonight to those who know what's going on. We got to talk to those who know what's going on. So I want to hear from you, and I want to hear from my experts tonight, our panelists tonight, the James Muhammad, who's there in Jacksonville, Florida, who is a master educator, a professional educator. We want to hear from him as well. Let me open up the phone lines and just go right straight to it, because we got to dig into this tonight. And listen for your area code, because I'm bringing you all on very swiftly. Area code will start 347-272. Area code 347-272. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. We have to develop and defend black youth. Are we our own worst enemy? Black Power.
Well, I'd like to say Black Power to our national chairman, Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power to my national spokesman, Sean Kwali. And to
Black
all
Power.
My brothers and sisters and comrades in the struggle, Black Power and peace. And to answer your question, national spokesman, are we our own worst enemy? I would have to say at this time, yes, we have been made to become our own worst enemy.
Okay. Tell us why.
Unfortunately, many of us have given up the struggle, brother. We have been afflicted on so many fronts for so long that many of us have given up the fight and gone for self. And that ain't going to work, my brother.
No, it ain't. It ain't going to work. So in your estimation, and we're going to take various opinions tonight, but in your estimation, you're saying we are our worst enemy. We've been made our worst enemy, and on top of that, people have given up the struggle and trying to redeem our people. Am I hearing you correctly?
Yes, sir. There are a lot of people who have given up the struggle. I mean, we in the party, we've never given up. We know it's about loving ourselves and doing for self. So, no, we're not giving up. But unfortunately, a lot of brothers, man, and a lot of sisters, they have given up the struggle. They have been bought out. They have been distracted.
Man. So what do we do, Brother Shah? If we are our own worst enemy, what is our options in this situation? Where do we go? Because we're right now in 2012, November the 26th, 2012. You know, by God's grace, we'll make it through December going into 2013, and it's not getting any better. It's not getting any easier, Brother Shah. So, I mean, you're a man who's on the ground all the time. I mean, tell the people a little bit about yourself, but you're on the ground all the time. So what can we do to help our black youth, brother?
All right, first and foremost, I'll tell people a little bit about myself. I'm a black man, 47 years old, from Queens, New York. I have been involved with many illicit things in my youth, so I understand what would drive some of these youngsters to try to take a shortcut. As far as what could be done, brother, I like to always make an analogy that, you know, it's like a sick body in the emergency room. A sick body that's bleeding and dying from many mortal wounds. One surgeon is not going to be able to save that body. It's going to take the surgeons working together to save that body. Same thing with us as a nation. We need education. We need self-economics. We need love of self. We need many things that must all be done simultaneously. We can't just do one. As in the 60s, a lot of people stressed education. Well, education is a very important thing. But without control of our resources, we're not going to be able to get no jobs, as you pointed out, brother. Without love
right.
and understanding and respect for ourselves, we're not going to be able to work together. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we got to do simultaneously. We got to put aside our petty differences and learn to work mm-hmm. together for the bigger common good of us all. We have to do that now. You know, we know we've been disunited. As I said, we know we have been made to be our worst enemy, so our enemies don't have to do no longer have to do the fight. They got us fighting ourselves.
Yes.
We
got to
get that love of self. We got to get that respect for the elders, that respect and understanding for each other. And most of all, brother, most of all, we got to know, not just believe, that we will prevail. Cannot quit.
So
I tell everybody all the time, winners are the losers that never quit. No matter how bad things get, if you got to take a break, you got to fall back. Take a break, fall back. Every boxer gets a minute in between rounds to recuperate. But get back up
right.
and get back to the fight, brother.
That's what I'm talking about. Now don't go anywhere. We're gonna stress this topic out. I want to bring the rest of the panelists in on this so they can weigh their opinions in on this with yours. Let me bring in right now my sister Akua from the West Coast, Los Angeles chapter. Behind her, I'm going to bring in Brother Mike. I'm going to bring in Sister Segment. I'm going to bring in Brother James. We're going to talk about it tonight. Let me bring in my sister Akua and get her thoughts on this topic to develop and defend black youth. Are we our own worst enemy? Sister Akua, give us your thoughts on that. Where are we at? Are we our own worst enemy?
Peace. Thanks for the introduction.
Peace.
I would definitely say that we've been used to believe so. I wouldn't own up to saying that we're our own worst enemy or that we are each other's enemy. But like I said, we've been used as a vehicle by our enemy, by our oppressor to act as though we are. I mean, I was just telling someone the other day, when somebody tells you they have a cold, or you can tell that they're sick, when they start coughing, I mean, you're not surprised. You expect that. We're sick people, and when we act out of the menicide that we're experiencing, that's to be expected. That's not coming from our core. We're not an evil people. We're not, we don't naturally practice individualism. That's something that was put on us. That's something that was taught to us, and we're now practicing. So what we have to do is just take all of the Eurocentric behavior patterns that we have out of our life to every capacity that we can, and we need to become more African-centered. And how do we do that? We need to do research. We need to also tap into self, because we are African. So wherever we are at, we are African, even if we're not living on the headquarters, we're not living on the continent, it still lives within you. So if you just are able to sit yourself down and really take care of your body and your mind and your thought process, then you can start reconnecting to the divinity that's naturally in us. So I would say one of the many fixes is just, one, deciding that we're going to focus on the solution altogether. A lot of us are really good at pointing out what's wrong, you know what I'm saying? But not many people are coming together to say, okay, so boom, we know what's wrong. What are we going to do? And then after we talk about what we're going to do, when are we going to do it? What do we need to accomplish it? You know, and there's actually quite a few different community programs and services that just aren't being taken advantage of, because one thing I feel we as a people don't naturally do is we don't solicit people. We don't market. We don't network. We like, I got this awesome service. You see it, you should automatically know that you need it. You know what I'm saying? Or the creator's just going to push people my way and it's going to work. So we have to get together and network with other people that are good with word of mouth, are good with marketing, so that these different movements that are already existing even get the support that they need. And if there's any gaps, any loopholes of other programs that are needed, that's going to come up, and then we can support those also. So I know food drives, clothes drives, rites of passage programs, and they don't have enough children, or they don't have enough monetary support or exposure. So we need to look around and support the existing movements, and, you know, of course, bring in and incorporate culture as often as possible, and just do grassroots building. When you see a sister or brother on the street, have a conversation, have an exchange with them. You know what I mean? Don't ignore each other. Don't approach them, you know, with a negative mind, just assuming that they want to steal, kill, or rob you. You know, just inspire them to be great like we are.
That's good. So you're saying it's a network thing, a networking and a culture thing. We've been riding of our culture and we don't network, right?
Right, exactly. I started a group here. We're going to have our first meeting December 8th in Long Beach, and it's called Pan-African Parenting Collective. So what we're going to do is just get together and, you know, focus on what's most important to us, which is our children, which is nation building. So get together, you know, having play dates with children, you know, who have like minds and a similar upbringing. We're going to, you know, do field trips local and abroad. We're going to talk about things that are impacting our children, share resources. And then, you know, because we're in the midst of each other, discuss what your businesses are, or what your business interest is. And then we're going to be able to build together. That's something I think we need to do every time, every opportunity we're around each other. We have a common enemy. You know what I'm saying? We have common stresses on our lives. So whatever resource or whatever information you have to share, that's what we need to make sure comes up. If I'm sitting next to a sister or a brother, you know what I mean, spark some kind of a conversation, or just at least give acknowledgement, give a smile, which could spark some kind of an inspiring exchange between the two of us. One of the reasons why I started writing children books is because a lot of us from the very beginning had no idea that we just weren't slaves. We come from slaves. We don't know what Africa looks like. We don't know anything about being African. We don't know why we should want to go there, why we should want to be called African. We have to wait until we are somewhere in our late teens, early 20s before we get into some kind of knowledge. Like, wow, I wish I would have known this growing up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So this is just a part of your fabric. As you're growing up,
right.
You know that you created temples, pyramids throughout the world, not even just the continent, but throughout the world.
Teach.
To know that you were here prior to the captivity of our people, to know that that's a war crime, so that you can understand
right.
that we are still on the battlefield, but you've been tricked to sleep into thinking that some document freed your people. You know what I mean? There's so many different aspects of how we got in this situation that are empowering, but parents and teachers shy away in thinking that it's going to make the child, you know, feel very hopeless and feel just, you know, sad and empty. I could guarantee you any child that has read my book, you know, any of my books, feels more empowered, and they want to see how they can fit in the puzzle. Okay, what's my piece? The one thing that I'm constantly pushing is purpose. If we're a purpose-driven people. Wherever we are, you know, if you go back and you study any of our ancestors, it was about purpose and principles and dignity. What did they do? They took that. They take away our dignity through the media. So
right.
really, they take
That's
away
right.
our purpose through having us stressed out. As long as you're somebody's employee, that you are a consumer because you're dealing with escapism. So you want to hurry up and go spend your money. You want to go to the club. You want to avoid everything serious because you just want to be happy because most of us had effed up childhoods. And we have damaged root chakras. So we need to teach our children who they are and where they come from and how, most importantly, we got in this situation. Because a child just looking around could be like, okay, I see why we don't get respect. Like, what do we do? What have we done? You know what I'm saying? So if you're white, you get to be a manager. You get to be a business owner. You get to be a teacher because these are the positions they see them in. We don't go out of our way to make sure our children see black business owners. And people that are in an authoritative position, when they see that, it's not a rumor. Now it's not a fantasy. So I could tell children anything. You know, you could have your own this or that. They're like, okay, that sounds great, whatever. But when you see it, you now know it could be accomplished. Like, oh, yeah, I mean, I've seen it. Okay, I've seen, you know, hundreds of black-owned businesses. I know if I want to own a business, I could do it. Do you think Chinese households need to have this conversation ever? Do you know you could own a business? They know they could own a business. Most of their parents do.
Right.
It's not
right.
a surprise. And what do? They incorporate culture. Every Chinese business has an altar. Where do you think they got altars from? That's from our ancestors. You go into our businesses, we have nothing spiritual in there, no kind of protection. You know what I'm saying? We are not operating in our full greatness. And one, most of us have a pineal gland that's defective. You know what I'm saying? We're not doing what's best for our bodies. We're not doing what's best for our mind, for our thoughts, for our environment. We're just worried about trying to escape. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with the pressure. I don't want to deal with what's real. So with me writing books, it reminds the parents what they need to be doing, what they need to be studying, and it ingrains in children ideas of community and a sense of who they are, and once again, letting them know that they have a purpose. They were born
Absolutely.
Right now for a reason.
Absolutely. And we're going to get that information out during this broadcast. Your book's name, the names of your books, the books you wrote, what inspired you. A lot of people don't know that members of the New Black Panther Party are authors and we're professionals and there's talented brothers and sisters in this organization. We're gonna talk about that. Sister Cool, hold that. We're going to bring it now. Brother Mike, and y'all's mics are open. Brother Shy, you're still on. Brother Sister Cool, you're still on. But we're going to bring in now Brother Mike, West Coast Regional Chairman. He's going to now chime in on this. Brother Mike L., talk to us. Are we our own worst enemy? Can we develop and defend black youth, black power?
Black power, black power, black power. Oh, man. Well, first and foremost, I want to give a shout out to our ancestors. Honorable Khalil Du Muhammad, and also our national chairman at this time, Dr. Lindsay Shabazz, I also want to give a shout out to all the other panelists on here that was spitting fire up here because everybody was definitely correct. I don't think anybody had any wrong answers. At this time, present time, are we our worst enemy? And the way I feel that we are, the reason why I say that, if 9 times out of 10, you talk to a brother sitting on the street, they know what their problem is. No, they're not that stupid that they'll know why they're doing what they're doing, because they will tell you. If you sit them down, they will tell you why they're doing what they're doing. They're not stupid. It's just a fact. They just don't know how to get out of it. Their parents have not taught them how to get out of it. Their parents are working every day, or they're trying to find money or trying to get money. So when the parent is gone and the teachers are all, the children's with the teachers, they get home and the parents are still gone, then who is there for them? The brothers on the streets, the OGs on the corners, and now they become their family. They become their mother and father. And this is what happens. Now, another situation out here is I see that it's to the point where, you know, like I said, a lot of these brothers and sisters have been living in the same neighborhood all their life. So, okay, well, I ask myself, why don't the parents move? If the parents know that this is, you know, this situation that they're in is putting their children in a heavy situation, dealing with the gang violence, dealing with being a part of a gang, whether or not being a victim of a drive-by shooting, you know. And I ask myself this all the time, why don't they move? And 9 times out of 10, they're gang members too, or they're somehow affiliated or up in the streets or the situation that they're living in. So it's also hard for them to get out of. And then a lot of us get contempt, you know, or not contempt, but, you know, to the situation that we have as far as welfare and a little bit of money that we get, the food stamps that we get, and then we can live off of that. We're content with that, not having to work or not wanting to work. And again, like Sister Koo and Brother said, you know, this is something that's been put on us. You know, we do overstand that. Well, but now, since we say that, that means we know. If we sit here and say, hey, you know, we know this is something that's been put on us, then we know that. We know. So that now, again, it's what are we going to do to get ourselves out of it? Now, dealing with the youth, today I was in the doctor's office getting a physical for my nursing job. And I'm sitting in there, and I see two young brothers in there. One was all redded up, boots, red shoestrings and stuff, so I knew he was in blood. So me and one of my comrades, Brother Sonic, he was with me. So I'm sitting down, he's standing up, and the brother just kept looking at me. I had my Red Panther shirt on, and mm-hmm. With my Red Panther hats. So he's looking at me, and Brother Sonic leaves the room, gets on the phone. And he looks at me again, and says, hey, brother. He says, what's up with this Panther stuff? Is this a new movement? Brother, I mean, you know, I can't explain to you what that did for my heart. Because that's what they need. They need to see something different. They need to see that there's somebody that can change them. Now, watch this. Let me explain how hard this was. This is how beautiful this moment went. And I sat by the brother. I said, brother, and I explained to him what we do and what we offer, and what we're trying, you know, what our chapter's trying to do, get them off the streets economically, you know, get the dope out of their hands, give them a job, you know, or some kind of something in their hand, merchandise that we have out here that I can do things to sell and keep money in their pocket. And as I'm saying this to him, an elder brother is standing there, and another sister. They hear us talking in the doctor's office. The brother asked me, hey, brother, what is y'all's motive? You know what I'm saying? I said, brother, our motive is to raise our black nation. The Asians got their own community. The Latinos got their own community. Native Americans got their own community. Where's ours at? And he said, brother, that's what I wanted to hear. So I gave the brother my number, and hopefully he's on the phone line tonight, and he wanted to get on this call. But this is how serious it was. When I go back to the doctor's office, the sister that was standing there said, hey, brother, when you come back out, I want your number, too, because I got 3 sons and 2 daughters, and they need that same help, too. As I walked out of the doctor's office, she was in another doctor's office. She ran out and said, brother, don't, come here. Where you going? I want that number. That's how serious this is. That's what they want. They need it. They need this. So all I'm asking all the organizations to do is start submerging our people back into our culture. Hey, let me tell you, I was just saying a thing while I'm listening to everybody talk, right? The Nation of Islam are the best at submerging their children into that Nation of Islam culture. They are the best at it. I've never seen so many sharp children than you will see in the Nation of Islam. They are sharp. Right. Why can they submerge themselves into that culture of Islamic literature and things of that nature?
fish. That's what they do. They live it. They breathe it. They eat it. You can't tell them they're not what they, who they are. You talk to a Christian, they might second guess. They might that call their pastor or their bishop or their best friend that might know more about the Bible than they do because half of them don't even read their own scripture. But you can't do that with a 9 out of 10 you can do as a Muslim. What I'm telling you is we have to start submerging our people with culture. Fashion, education. I'm handling the fashion. It's the coolest hand in education. We also have the magazine going out here. Like I said, we have our programs that we're working on to get our children out of here. We have to submerge our people with it. And you have to do it with all the stuff the devil's winning them with. The devil's winning our children with the music. So guess what? It's time to start bringing our conscious music back. The devil's winning them with clothes. All that vintage clothes, old tour clothes. To me, that's disrespect to the homeless. A lot of people out here, these rich people out here, will walk around with these tore up clothes. I'm like, why? How do y'all feel? I mean, I don't understand how you can wear stuff like that and knowing that the homeless would die to have some fresh clothes on, but y'all walk around here with tore up clothes and pants, and you call that a style? It's so disrespectful to me. It's so much going on out here. I'm walking down the street today. They are snatching our homeless brothers and sisters up out here. If y'all didn't know, Los Angeles is a homeless capital. They're snatching our brothers and sisters up and doing a work on our brothers and sisters. Man, today I'm driving my girlfriend off, dropping off at school. And I see a brother on the corner, fresh to death, dressed nice, screaming at the top of his lungs, hallelujah, just screaming. I'm like, what is wrong with this brother? I swear to God, 30 seconds as I'm looking to my left, I see a brother with long dreads, with a brown robe on, with no shoes on, with a cane, like thinking he's Black Jesus. And I'm saying to myself, what is wrong with my people? What is going on out here? They're going crazy. They're going crazy. They have nowhere to turn. So we have to, it's not religion, they're helping them. Religion's not doing it. It's making them even crazier. So we got to throw down the ideologies. It don't matter what you are. Just come in as an African. You understand? Come in as an African and learn who you are all over again. We have to re-submerge. That's what we have to do. And it's just sad, but it's something we have got to do. The elder culture don't have to do that because, like Sister Kua said, they already know their culture. Their culture is our culture. They took it and they used it, and they used it to the best of their ability. We ain't doing nothing with it. So, again, there's nothing to be said for us to do but to get back into ourselves again, tap back into ourselves, do the right thing, and that's what we're doing. Again, you know, we know what we got to do. You know, we know what the problem. We know what the problem is. We know who the problem. You know, the problems. You know, resolvers are. But we had to be the problem solutionaires. We had to be the ones that get the solutions. Before the revolution, we got to be a solutionary before a revolutionary. Because once we get the solutions out, then we can start that revolution. Until then, we're in a square box.
Straight up. Black power. That's good teaching. That's good teaching. Let me pull in another panelist in here. Let me pull in straight out of the East Coast. My sister Sekhmet. Come on in on this. Are we our own worst enemy? Can we develop and defend black youth? Has religion failed us? Is there any hope? Talk to me.
Hey, peace, Black Power. How you doing?
Black Power. Yes, ma'am. Got a little feedback.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm outside because I was trying to wait with the youth inside so we could all talk on the radio station.
No doubt. Let's go. So are we our own worst enemy? Sister going to call back in. She fell off. She fell off. The call number 646-478-4447. I got with me Brother Shah out of New York. I got with Brother Mike out of L.A. I got Sister Kua out of L.A. West Coast, East Coast. We're talking about a national epidemic, black-on-black violence with black youth. Can we be saved? Brother Shah, Sister Kua, Brother Mike, what are we going to do? You say it's cultural. One say it's networking. Another say we are our own worst enemy, but we've been made that way. What are we going to do? What are the solutions? We're dying out here. Talk to us.
Black Power, brother, from the shop in New York.
I'm saying, let's go. What are we going to do? What are our solutions? How do we answer the statistics that I named? If we are our own worst enemy, how do we answer those statistics that I named?
Black Power, Brother Shaw from New York.
Black Power, go ahead, Black.
All right, as I was saying earlier, you know, there's many different problems, brother, and we need many different surgeons, but I'm going to get straight to the core of some things that we need to do, all right? Number one, we need our sisters together. There's plenty, unfortunately, plenty single black women out there. We need them to cooperatively come together and operate centers But they are there. They're in charge of teaching our youth and keeping our youth off the streets. We need our men, as the brother Mike was saying, to be more involved with our kids. We need to be proactive. We need to have intervention teams, as we do up here in New York. We go up into some of the worst projects. When we hear that this project got a beef with this project or these brothers are beefing with these brothers, we can't be afraid of our children. As you said, Brother Sean Kwali, these are our children. We got to love them. We got to embrace them with love and guide them. And if we see that they got a beef, we get involved. We stop it. We intervene. We've stopped. Unfortunately, we ain't stopping all the killing. And we don't know exactly what killings we have stopped. But we are proactively in the street engaging youth. We're out there on the corners every weekend having ciphers, letting them see brothers being men, building, teaching them how to work out their issues without going and get guns. We letting brothers know, I'll never tell nobody to give up your guns, but these guns are never to be used against ourselves and our communities. Brothers running around trying to be ill. Yeah, and that's why they sick. They want to be the illest. Puffing shots in playgrounds and in the middle of projects where kids is playing. No. We let them know men don't do that. If you cannot work out differences vocally and amicably, then you get in the ring. You get somewhere like a man, and y'all shoot five. Head to head, knuckle to knuckle, no guns. So these are the things that we constantly teaching these youngsters out here, teaching our women how to be women. I seen a video today, man. This little young girl had to be no more than 9 years old, listening to some reggae music. And I'm West Indian, so I ain't down in reggae music because it happens in rap music and all this. Where our young women are taught to be promiscuous from a young age, to do these type of dances, listen to these type of lyrics. But we got to stop this. We got to deal with the media influence through music, through movies, rap videos, through these video games that numb them down to make them think that it's all right to do that. No, it's not all right. We as black men got to let our little sisters know, now, don't do that. We look down upon that. Sister, if you want a man, carry yourself like a sister. If you're carrying yourself like a hoe, don't be surprised while you're doing is attracting dogs.
That's real talk. That's real talk. Let me get Sister Segment back in here. She fell off. Everybody's still on. Let me get Sister Segment back in here. She was talking about she was dealing with the youth. Sister Segment, you on with us? What can we do? Black on black violence, black youth violence. Can we develop and defend our black youth or are they hopeless? Talk to us. Black power.
Black, how you doing? No,
we're
I'm
good.
Sorry. I had to speak out. I'm outside right now. You probably hear a lot of noise in the back. But, no, honestly, I mean, we are our worst enemies. But it's like a twofold thing because it's like the way that we're taught. You know, we're taught to be our worst enemies. You know what I mean? Because everything is selfish. Is a lot of criminalization, of, especially of our youth, on the news.
Segment, trying to get it in. You still with us, the segment? Segment, fell off again.
You hear me?
You back with it. Yes, ma'am, you back with us. Go ahead, finish your thoughts. Your phone was cutting out. Go right ahead.
No, what I was saying was like, okay, of course, like, it's twofold. Of course, we're our own worst enemies, and it's also part of the system. It's like we're taught to be a certain way. Like, even my brother Sean was talking about our young woman being taught promiscuous. But when you look at the video, that's all you see. You know, you're not a woman on the video unless you got your behind shaking and something showing. You know, so
that's
it's true. Like we're taught that. You know, we're taught to stray away from God, and we're purposely put that way. And it's not about religion because it's a relationship with God. That's number one. So it's like, well, we're taught purposely to stray away from God so we could be kept at the level that we're at. Because if we ever return back to our God consciousness, if we ever return back to who we truly are, then they know that they have no hope. Because when you start to worship the Most High God that created us all, He starts to open up your eyes so we won't be asleep anymore. You know what I mean? And then we will be a strong, united force. So the thing that we have to do, especially for the youth, is this. We have to get into their spirit first. That's what we have to occupy and advance in, is the spirit of our youth. Because everything is taught to crush the spirit of our youth. Even the rise of homosexuality. That's a spirit. I don't care what nobody thinks. That is a spirit. So that is taught, and that is emphasized, you know, constantly drilled inside you. That's all. When you start to see it, you know, you start to hear it, then you become it. So it's like we have to go into the spirit. We have to return our people back into the Most High God. And I don't care what you call him. I don't care if you call him Yahweh. I don't care if you call him Allah. I don't care if you call him Jesus. Whatever he is, that is the creator. That's number one. He sits high and he looks low and he's above us all. We have to humble ourselves also. We have to realize that, guess what? Not one is greater than not another one. But we all have to, you know, we all have this superior power that's above us all. And we all have to understand this too. I don't care what nobody say about the Quran. I don't care what nobody say about the Bible. Because Bible stands for this. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. And when you have a TV, that comes with instructions. When you have a car, that comes with instructions. When you have a remote control, that comes with instructions. So the question is, what are our instructions that we must follow to get out of this? We have to return our roles back. The men have to be men dead again. They can't
right.
win in competition with the woman. They have to stand and be protectors of our household. The woman must, yes, the woman must fall in line too and be the submissive role. And not saying, oh, you're submissive, oh, you can't do this or stay in the kitchen. But or actually, if you don't stay in the kitchen, who is going to stay in the kitchen? If you don't teach the children, who is going to teach the children? The man can't bear the baby. You got to bear the baby. So until we all understand that, yes, we have been given certain roles and assignments, and these assignments are divine, we're going to continue to keep going through the same cycle. We can't expect to be wrong and get what's right. We have to be
That's true.
Right within.
Right. Right. Yeah, we've lost quite a few generations, and what you're saying is the roles have been reversed. That's what I'm hearing from you. The roles have been reversed, and we lost our connection. Talk to us a little bit about this Panther program you got, this Panther Cub program. What does that mean for us and the black youth? What's been your success with that?
Well, the Panther Cub is this, right? Of course, you know, us Black Panthers, we stand for our culture. We stand for race first. And that's who we're called out to our people first and foremost, because we're the ones who suffer everything, but we are the greatest and we don't know it. We are the super giant. The Panther Cubs cover the culture, but then it's also C-U-B-S, Cubs, which is covered under the blood soldiers. And what that means is that we go into, like, the places that are wrong and make what's right by making our light shine, you know.
That's what's up.
We make our light shine in what's the dark areas, and not saying dark all as a negative subliminal message of, you know, dark is bad. No, but it's making you see, like, you have to turn and reverse the mold of what's been going on. How do we do that? I focus on recruiting a lot of the youth. I teach them the Bible, but I don't teach them no pale-faced, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus, because that's a lie from the pits of hell. When you read Revelation 1 and 15, it gives a clear description of who Christ is. And it also gives a clear description of who the people are in that word.
Right.
I teach our people about our greatness and that in the spiritual aspect. I teach our people about, you know, our culture. Who is Imhotep? Who is Nat Turner? Who is Yon Santiwa? I have to teach my that for them to understand who they are and understand the greatness that's in them. Also, even with my eye, I teach them that, guess what? You can never say that you can't do math, because my eye, which was one of the very first African religions, my eye is in math. So you have to understand that's part of who you are. And that's where we basically focus on. We basically focus on, you know, standing up against stop and frisk, number one, police brutality. Let them know that, you know what, it's not right for a police officer just to come and pull you on the side and start searching your pockets and going in your pants. That's wrong.
Because that's what's happening. We got to talk about that too. That's what's happening to the young youth out here. They're being accosted and harassed on the streets because they're youth and because they're young black males and young black females. Let me pull in some other callers. Y'all gonna be on. Don't go nowhere at all. Seven, we'll bring you back. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I won't cut you off. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I also teach them about boycotting Nike. Do not wear no Jordans. Don't wear no Nike because they want to put you in prison. And these are the things that our youth must know, that you can save up the money and you can open up your own business. You don't have to keep buying from your enemies.
That's real. That's real. We got to talk about that. We're going to have to talk about the black economics. We're going to have to talk about our spending. All this is involving our youth. I was saying that our youth are being accosted out here in these streets. And so we got to talk about what's happening with stop and frisk, because the statistics on that say the majority of those being stopped and frisked is black and brown. Black and brown being stopped and frisked. Something's up with that. Let me bring in some other callers here. I got Sister Cool with me. I got Brother Mike with me. I got Sister Second with me. I got Brother Shaw with me. Let me bring the others in here. Let me bring you in here. Area code 562-239. 562-239. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about, are we our own worst enemy? Can our youth be developed and defended? Black Power. 562, area code 239. Your mic's open. Talk to us. You got a question or comment? They may just be listening. We'll move forward. Listen for your area code. Don't miss out on your chance to get in. Area code 805. 805 area code 235. You're on live with Black Power Radio. Can our youth be developed and defended? Are we our own worst enemy? Black Power.
For your woman, I think that we've been forced into a system that isn't ours, and we try to fit in it, and our children can see that because their minds are barely developing. We had a thing where we would take youth right out to into Big Mountain, you know, and see the situation outright, you know, that grandmas are just picking up guns because their children or their children aren't even there to help defend them. And so they kind of became brothers together in a fight and in a struggle. And they didn't care about gangs, you know, that wasn't on their mind. Then when we came to Redwood, Oyate, which is a land base, we were having youth conference here. Because when Kwame Ture passed away, I wanted our youth to know that there was a solidarity and a unity between the black and the red and the brown. So the youth conference, you know, we have leadership that are, you know, like to just party with women and all this other stuff, you know, and I just, you know, and it was, I was looking for the youth, you know, to understand that there's no fight amongst us. The enemy is the white devil, the United States government, you know.
Right,
and
right.
Them, right. That's why it says when you take them out of the city, some people are afraid to even leave the city. These are adult people. They think they're going to get lynched. They think they're going to, you know, get hung, you know, or something. So we bring them out, and they stay here for a weekend, you know, and it's like no TV, no radio, no electricity. You know, you have to go and chop your wood to cook your food, to keep your cabin warm or your tent, you know, whatever. So it's like on training, you know, and so anyway, you know, we're getting up an age, you know. And so we feel that the people, the youth, the babies, they need a future. And we
That's right.
need a community, not just a center, but a community that doesn't drink, that doesn't take drugs, that is revolutionary. The revolutionary mind, spirit, and heart. We have, you know, we still practice the Dakota, the indigenous way. And you know, and there is money on these reservations, but the government wants it, you know. We have gold, timber, water, uranium. 30 years ago, you know, we thought we could work with the black community to help economically, you know, but that didn't materialize. That's why we said if we're going to do something, then do it. But if we're just doing Band-Aid programs, we're going to lose the youth even worse, you know, because
right.
then now we're chucking jiving. And the
true.
Youth aren't understanding. But the white man is putting that homosexuality into everything. That we had a youth group out of LA come here, but because they had people that were homosexual, and we don't allow that in here to even participate in our sweat lodge, in our Inipi ceremony, they didn't want to come no more because they wanted to work as a group, you know. And I said, well, fine, you know, because you know we're sitting here as people. Then they want to bring in the filth, you know what I mean, about
right.
their voice. You know, and stuff. And then we don't want to hear
True.
That. You know, that's why we don't want white people around us, because we've been catered to be their slaves, you know, is okay, catered to them. That's why we don't allow them here. And if there's
Teach.
Big couples, he says they can come during Halloween, you know, but if they want to come in, but they can't come, you know. There's always people trying to sneak in with other groups. But that's why he says if we're going to do this, then do it right. You know, we allow people to come into the ceremony to be a stronger Muslim, to be a stronger Allah person, to be a stronger Black African revolutionary person. You know what I mean?
Teach.
So
right.
That is in there, and it's like when you come in, you come in with a towel. You're dressed more inside that Unipi sweatlodge than you are outside. You know, but unless you got an alternative to what besides what you read, but what you see, what you hear, you know, when you honestly see for the first time somebody greets you and puts their hands on their heart and gives it to you, you know that in a greeting, I mean, that's how they normally do it, you know. But until we detox from the white man, we're just going to make little buildings, read them books, you know, and some of us are just learning about homosexuality going into the community. You know, some of us, we have ceremonies where they take the flesh offerings out of the arm. They got to get a razor and something to pull the skin out, a needle, and then cut the skin. And because people come from the city, they brought in AIDS. Now the ceremony, they have to have gloves. They have to have a place where they deposit the old razor blades and stuff.
Right,
this is
right,
the
same. Absolutely.
People are going to come home, but they're coming home filthy. They're coming home dirty and with their attitude of the sick white man out there, even though we're black, we're brown, we're red. So,
Jeez.
You know, that's why I says you got to pull them out of the sick city just to give them a little taste of nature. You know, it's a trip just coming down here. It's a trip just going down the bumpy road that isn't paved, you know. But you can stand somewhere and not see a fence, you know, and just see the mountains, you know, see the stars. That's what a lot of people, you know, and just get back to that basic creation, you and creator, you know. So it says there's no middleman. It's you and the creator.
No middleman. Right.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, then you have the priest, and he was a filthy molester, you know, and the teachers are now molesters, and the gymnasium. Remember when they had the rap songs, and they used to rap educational things, you know. Now it's
that's
just,
right.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the groups that are starting out should be hit up too. You know, if you're going to be singing to the people, making money off the people, then we have to be there to tell them, you know, you have to mention, you know, the babies that are being killed out in the streets, that are being put in prison, the people that,
right.
You know, that have food or housing, you know. But I think we have to go back to being real, you know, getting down to...
Gotta be real.
Yeah, creation and the air we breathe, the land we walk on, you know, the stars and the air we breathe, all of that, the water we drink. Without that, who are we? We're nobody, we're nothing. We're just the weakest form of all creation, the two-legged. So I think, you know, when we talk like that, honestly, and live that way, then I think we got something for the babies, you know, we got something for the youth. Because if we don't have a community, then our children are going to see that filth, and they're going to think that's good to go that way.
So your thoughts are, Sister Warrior Woman, your thoughts are, like, I'm going to bring the rest of the callers and panelists in, your thoughts are, we've been here too long. We've been around the white man's culture and here in the decadent culture of America too long. That's what you're saying.
Right. You know, when people talk separation, they should have done it 30, 40 years ago. You know, so we could have had something in progress already. But if people are barely talking about it, is our leadership going to be alive to guide us through it? Because a lot of us still have a lot of filth to detox every day. I've been living up in the mountains for 20 years, and I can still feel the white man, how he's taught us, you know, the radio, the filth on TV, and how to dress, how to act, what to drink. You know what I mean? It's like we don't have control of our own mind. So I think that, you know... you know, we have to do things in mass, and we have to, you know, like mass quantity. But all you need is a handful to start it off, you know, to start doing things, you know, because a lot of these reservations are no different than the cities, the drugs. The cops are bringing in the drugs, you know, which the government brings in the drugs. It all ends up with them, you know what I mean? So,
yes,
you know, on a reservation or being in the ghetto or being in the slum or barrio, it's no different. You know, you still got that. That's why we says we got to preserve ourselves as people, not human, because we're not animal-like, you know, but people. You know, we're the populace, we're the population, and we are the community. And unless we start having our own little community, like free houses, in terms of people can go there, people can leave their baby there. I mean, we've got to do big things that are really, really affecting our people. And, you know, with the lynch, we have a lot of work in front of us.
Got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Got a lot of work to do. Sister War Woman, thank you so much. I got to pull the rest of the callers in here.
Okay.
Thank you. Hang with us. Hang with us. We'll pull you back in. Hang with us. That's Sister Warrior Woman. And what she's saying is important. That's an important piece of this conversation. Have we been in America too long? Kind of goes back to what Sister Akua was saying about the culture and having the culture. Have we been in America too long? Have we taken on so much of the white man's ways that now we're doing the bidding and the evil of the white man better than the white man? Let's talk about that. Let me bring in some more callers here. The lines are full, so I'm going to get you in, I promise, right now. Area code 904613. Area code 904613. You're on with the panel in Black Power Radio. Your question, your comment. Can black youth be saved? Black Power.
First of all, brother, I'd like to thank you again for inviting me. This is Brother Dr. James Muhammad.
Hey, Black Power.
Of course, as the Master Education Chair, I just wanted to have a few words on where we are. I'm not going to stop, Sean, until I tell people that all that we're talking about is in your hands, and we have put it out for you with the guidance of Dr. Malik, which is the Pan-African Black University of Excellence, which was discussed in Atlanta. So we're having conversations about things, and all you have to do is join your network. So the cool has been a part of it, but people don't step up and do what they're supposed to do. So I hear all this beautiful talk and comments, but I'm going to put your feet to the fire. I'm going to tell you straight. We on Friday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, there are classes that go on that deal with empowerment. And then on Saturday morning, we're talking education. You have the homeschool, or what is called Seed Dropper Homeschool Network, to free up the children's mind, to get them out of these public institutions, and to deprogram on Saturday morning. And we've had beautiful programs, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, we have not embraced and accepted our own. So I hear all the beautiful talk, but I tell you, I'm not about rhetoric. I'm going to give the numbers, Brother Sean, and I'm going to step back because I want to hear where people stand. The numbers
no doubt about it. Let me tell the people what you're talking about before you go into it. Brother James is working.
I'll be happy to explain it as an educational chair. I'm very capable of doing that. I think the thing is, others don't even know the program. We left Atlanta with the idea that we're going to put together a Pan-African University of Black Excellence.
Go ahead.
And that program is designed for the New Black Panther Party and others to operate and to set up Saturday programs, to set up schools in the community, to work toward empowerment to people, to work with the agenda of educating our children from grades K through 12 and beyond, that they can be taken eventually out of the public schools, that we'll be able to educate them ourselves with the proper curriculum, the proper reading program, the proper math program, and the proper essential advanced critical thinking programs that will move them forward. And we started out with a few people, and some fell by the wayside. We use words like plantation and miseducation, but you got to understand what that is before you run away from it. We talked about the killing fields of America. That's the educational system. But I'm saying that to say this, is that I hear the hype, and I love the spirit and enthusiasm. But it takes planning, it takes time, it takes implementation, which is what my Native American sister was talking about. We do believe one of the key and the only solution, I agree with Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the best solution is complete separation. That's a land that we can call our own. So we're talking about investing and building a nation of brothers and sisters around revolutionary thought that our children will have a future, and their children will have a future independent of white supremacy, white privilege, institutional
racism.
So I'm just going to give the number out, Brother Sean. I'm going to step back because I'm going to make it twice. The numbers are very simple. On Friday night at 10 o'clock, 347-884-8047. 347-884-8047. And then at 11 o'clock, I'm sorry, at 10:30 on Saturday morning, we come back with the current event news information for our youth, and then we go into the Seed Dropper Homeschool Network where Sister Shabazz and Sister Chuma and some other leaders and actually people and consultants outside come and talk about how to set up homeschool networks. They even talk about relationships. This week you missed a hell of a topic. They talked about, are you your child's best friend? or should you be your child's best friend? And if not, then why? Where does the role between parent and child separate in development? I heard someone talking about the young man and child support. Well, I'll say this. Many of us are just making babies and running.
True.
We're making babies and running, and somebody else is picking up responsibility. And then we look back and we say, wow, what type of example is that for our youth? But I'm saying that to say this. You have those two networks. We're developing the rest of it. We're ready to move forward. We need some more teachers. We need teachers to speak languages. I'm looking for some Spanish teachers right now to come in and teach Spanish at beginning level one. If you don't speak Spanish, you're going to need it because that's the way this country is going. If you have trouble writing and reading and math, we have people that can teach you advanced math. But again, all this is set up for the new Black Panther Party, a group called Uhuru Nation, all part of what Dr. Malik would call it, the Pan-African University of Black Excellence. So the tools are there. We have to embrace them.
That's right.
John, I don't really have anything to say other than that because I'm hearing a lot, and many of the people I'm hearing, we have emailed you and called you, and one of the things is it's going to have to be a unified effort. We can't do this by ourselves.
No doubt about it.
You can't do it by yourself.
No doubt about it.
The enemy will pick us apart one by one, and they bet that that's what we'll do. We'll try to do it by ourselves, and then we say, well, it fell apart. No, it didn't fall apart. It never came together. So there has to be a unity.
Right, right. But the good thing here, Brother James, Muhammad, my brother, is that we have something to offer. I want the people to understand this, that we're talking about proactive solutions. And what you're hearing is our brother from the Ministry of Education, Brother James Muhammad, talking about the online classes. We're talking about developing and defending black youth and defending our people in a righteous way. And if we are our own worst enemy, how do we turn it around? These brothers and these sisters, at the direction of Dr. Malik Zulu-Shabazz, have pulled together to re-educate our people and re-educate our babies. And it happens weekly. That's the number that Brother James has given out. And so for those who criticize or those who would like to say, you know, we need to do this and need to do that, and they never have a solution, what we're telling you now from Brother James to Sister Kua to Warrior Woman to Brother Shah to Sister Chrissy to Brother Mike, and everybody's going to come on, is we have solutions. I have to just put the question out there, though. What's going on with our people? And what's happening with us? And why are we killing each other at such an alarming rate?
Yes,
Brother James touched on it. Go right ahead, sir.
Hey, thank you. And I have to say, Brother Sean, before, is that we've been totally miseducated. The solution is not in white European American. I'll say this. Go get the technology, get the skills learned, and then unify and build something for ourselves. The solution is not integration. I know some of us have white friends and we work, that's fine. But I'm telling you, that is not the solution, because until you become an owner or entrepreneur of your own business and have our own land and we invest together, we'll always be sitting at the bottom of the table, sitting at somebody's feet, selling for crumbs. And we don't want to continue to do that. But
that's
John,
right.
Thank
that's
you
right.
for allowing me to have a few words. Black, few words. Black power, black power, black power. Love you, brothers and sisters. And also, assalamu alaikum.
Love you too, brother. Wa alaikum salam. Black power. Thank you, brother. You might want to hang around, too. The callers may have a question for you. This online Pan-African University of Excellence.
Yes, sir.
From the new Black Panther Party, the Uhuru Nation. It's for our babies. Hang around, Brother James. Hang tight.
Yes,
let me take another call here. Area code 817732. I got to get back to my panelists. Hold tight with me, Sister Kua, Brother Mike, Sister Chrissy, Brother Shaw. Y'all hang tight with me. We're going in on this. 817-723 on live with Black Power Radio. Can we develop and defend black youth? Are we our own worst enemy? Talk to us. Area code last time, 817-723, you're on live. All right, let's keep it moving, keep it moving. Area code 757-286. Area code 757-286, you're on live with Black Power Radio. Can we develop and defend our youth? Are they too late to be saved? Talk to us, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, you talking to that Queen Sheba. I'm going to give all my honor to peace and the light energy of the ancestor. Because the only way that we can get to our youth, we have to use the energy and power of the ancestors. Because the ancestors know what to do, where to do, and how to teach us and how to teach us how to go about teaching our youth, waking them up, letting them know where they come from and where they're going. Let them know who got the power and who got the energy. We don't worry about the other race. We worry about our race because we got to worry about our people getting themselves together. If they can't make it here in the United States, it's time to go home and fight for our nation. And that's Africa. That's the motherland.
Right.
That's what time it is. It's time for us to fight for the motherland.
That's good teaching.
That's right. We need to let Europeans have the United States. It never was. Now, it was no way. Our ancestors built it up, but they took it from. We need to go fight for our own land, where we were free from the beginning, and that is the motherland. That is Africa.
Sister Queen Kashiba say to hell with America, huh? You said let's just book and take that flight on back to Africa and fight from the base, huh?
That's right. We got to fight from the base. So we got to fight from the beginning of what happened, with how it started with the ancestors. It didn't start over here with the ancestors. It started in Africa when they went over there and took them without their permission. So the ancestors come as energy and power through us, through meditation, through dreams, and through thoughts to teach us how to conquer the beast, how to conquer our enemies, and how to fight for our enemies and go back home and fight for our land.
That's an interesting point, an interesting position, sister. You say go back to the ancestors. You say the ancestors have the key, huh?
That's right. They got the key because they give us the energy and power. If it weren't for the ancestors, we wouldn't be here.
I'm with that.
Our youth wouldn't be here.
Right. That's true. Got to go back to the roots. Sister Queen Kashiba, thank you for your call. Thank you for your comment, my sister.
All right. Peace and light. The light of the energy of ancestors.
Peace and light. Black power.
Sister black Queen power. Kashiba. Black power.
Sister Queen Kashiba say, hell with all this. Hell with Americans. I mean, we got to look at it. Some people do hold that position. The hell with America. We're going black to Africa. That's some people's position. We got to talk. Do we got a stake in it? Do we got to stay? Because I say the babies is dying on this soil. And I feel, Sister Queen Kashiba, the babies is dying on this soil. And most of our youth is not thinking about right now at this stage going back home because we, as we talked about, lost our culture. So we got to stop the bleeding and stop the genocide right here, too, to even get back home. We got to talk about it. We bring another call in here. Area code 773-653. Every code 773-653. You're on live Black Power Radio. Can we save our youth? Can we develop and defend our youth? Black Power, talk to us. What's your thoughts?
Black Power, everybody. This is Nakia Iman from Chicago.
Black Power.
And
Black Power.
I do feel like we can save our youth. I do feel like it starts with us. Those of us that, you know, can guide our youth and show them the way. I do feel like when someone tells us they want to be a doctor or someone tells us they want to be a dentist, a lawyer, some of us feel like, you know, just because, you know, we may have wanted to be these things when we were younger, that they're not able to do it. So I think that they've lost the guidance, and we're here to bring it back to them. Also here in Chicago, and like the brother was saying, you know, we can't talk about it. We have to be about it. So
right.
I decided here in Chicago as the chairwoman of the new Black Panther Party to start the new Black Panther Foundation of Chicago, and I'm willing to put up my own money to start this organization so that we can help our kids to get back on top, learn about their credit score, learn how to be homeowners, because until we start owning things as a nation, we will always be left behind.
Right.
And it starts with our children, so we'll have programs to teach them about home ownership, college tuition. One of my comrades had an idea that he wanted to start called Booths for Youth, so that, you know, kids that's getting good grades can go into the studio and actually record tracks, because it's a lot of youth out here. You know, rap is a big influence on our people here in Chicago, so why not make it a positive thing? So we do have some things rolling out in Chicago. I do feel like we can catch our youth. It's just up to us to do it. We cannot leave them behind, because until we start to guide our youth, we'll always be left behind. Black power.
Black power. Sister Chairwoman, give us the information. Give us, an email or something, because there's a lot of people out there that did not know that Chicago has a new Black Panther chapter, and Chicago has been in the news for a lot of violence and whatnot lately. The media has hyped up this violence in Chicago. So give us a way to contact you, maybe via email or however you're comfortable, so we can help you in that effort and help you in the effort of home ownership and cleaning up our credit and everything that you're doing with the youth. Talk to us.
For sure. If you want to get in contact with me, my email is queen.nahiba@gmail.com. If anyone can come and help us, if you are good at anything, like for me, I'm getting my real estate licenses so I can start building my, Black communities in Chicago and better neighborhoods. I'm actually learning Spanish myself. I can actually talk into sentences, so I plan to teach Spanish, because the brother is correct. In Chicago, Spanish is spoken just as much as English, and I feel like I need to understand what they're saying when they are around me. And also, yes, you can definitely hit me up on that email, and I'll be more than happy to take any help that I can get here in Chicago, because I got a call today that there was a funeral, and someone went into the funeral and shot and killed people that was even in the family of the dead person here in Chicago today. So it's like, wow, we have to do something, and we have to stand up. We cannot be afraid. We cannot leave our youth on their own. We have to.
That's right.
We have to step in.
That's right. That's right. Sister Nahiba Iman, you all support her in Chicago, Illinois. If you're anywhere in Illinois, make your way to Chicago or set you up a chapter with her help right there in Illinois. That's Nahiba Iman. Find her immediately, and let's deal on the violence that's there in Chicago. A young brother, whoever it was, sister, whoever it was, went and shot in a funeral. Y'all didn't hear what she said. In the funeral. Celebrating. They're celebrating the transition of a loved one. Somebody lost their life, and someone who has lost their culture and lost their mind went into the funeral and caused some other death. This is the state of our nation, the state of our people. This is where we are. Sister Nahiba, thank you so much, sister, for your contribution to this movement. Thank you for standing up and being bold, and thank you for your example, sister. We look to see great things from you in the near future, Queen.
Black power, thank you. And I also, another thing before I go, and I'm going to say this really quickly, I saw a blog that Russell Simmons put on Twitter to President Obama saying, what is he going to do about the youth and killing in Chicago and around the nation, especially in Chicago? I responded back, I told him who I was, and I got a correspondence back that someone from his team will be contacting me. So I will keep everyone posted.
No doubt about it.
When I hear back from him.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Russell be on the ground. Brother Shah's on with us. He can tell us about it. And I do want to bring back Sister Akua and the rest of the crew. Work very heavily with Russell Simmons and others in peacekeeping missions on the ground in New York. Brother Shah, you still with us, brother?
Yes, sir. Black power, my brother.
Black power.
As I've been saying, brother, and this is one of my central messages, and that's working together, working with many different organizations. As I listen to all the brothers and sisters here, man, I feel good. I'm touched. I'm moved that so many brothers and sisters are offering their expertise in this aspect of oppression that they feel needs to be addressed. As I say, it all needs to be addressed. With Brother Russell Simmons, now he's out there on the ground with us. He puts his money. The founder of the Peacekeepers, Captain Dennis Muhammad, he is out there in the fields. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan told us that we need to be out in the fields and the streets, not in our churches. We need to be out there interacting with them. Yes, the Panther Cup, that's a great program. It's a great initiative, and I have all confidence in Sister Sackman and what she's doing. Brother James right. Muhammad down there in Atlanta, what he's doing with teaching. These are all great things. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Sister Eva, I'm glad to make your acquaintance and see that you want to teach us about land ownership. We need all these things. And with the Peacekeepers,
right.
the Peacekeepers, that's just another organization, another regiment that's out there on the ground making peace, making safe corridors so our youngsters can see that the men and the women do care. They need to see that. A lot of them have given up hope. They think we don't care. We got to remind them that we love them, that we are there for them, and that we are pulling together, putting all the different pieces, the economic pieces, the education pieces, the basically everything in the 10-point platform that the parents are standing for. That we're initiating it, not just talking about it, but we got our
right.
boots and our as much as possible, and we out there, brother.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Great, great, great teaching. Sister Nahiba, one more time on that email, sister.
Okay. It's queen.nahiba, and that's N as in Nancy, A, H as in Harry, E, E, B as in boy, A, dot Iman, M-I-M-A-N, at Gmail. I wish
there
I had somewhere to put it.
Yes,
maybe
ma'am. We'll try to
see your page. Okay.
Yeah, we'll try to put it up maybe in the chat room, or we'll put it up on Facebook. Anybody who's one of my friends on Facebook, if you need that information for Chicago, Illinois, just get with me on my page, Sean Quali at Facebook, and I'll get that to you right away so we can stand up. Sister Nahiba, thank you so much, Queen. Thank you so much. All right. And listen, brothers and sisters, we. I'm moving on, and I want to bring Sister Akua back in. Got Brother James Muhammad with us. We got Brother Shah with us. We got Sister Sekhmet with us. We got all of you with us. Everybody's in here. We're putting our thoughts in this to bring ourselves out of this situation that we're in. Sister Akua, talk to us about this book now. Again, what made you want to write this book? How many books have you written? How hard was it to do it, and how can we get it?
Well, I have three books completed. Queen and Zynga will actually finally ship out this weekend. That's the last book that I wrote and published. Again, Queen and Zynga. The book before that is The Successes of Marcus Garvey. And the first book that I published is called Madam C.J. Walker's Road to Success, which is a really good conversation piece at most book events, because a lot of people think that she invented or was in heavy promotion of perms and pressing combs, and that's not true. So those are the three that are available now. I have another book that I'm getting the illustrations done, and it's the Intro to African Spirituality for Children, and the first book is going to focus on Yoruba. So that probably won't be available for another like 2 or 3 months, and then I'm working on a collection of revolt stories for our children as well, because as I was mentioning, it's important for them to see us in our struggle in the best light possible, the most encouraging light. And as you were actually saying, Brother Sean, in the very beginning of this call, that you know they make us look like we're passive and submissive, in that you know we never fought in this war. There was never a war. It was just you know straight capture and
right.
oppression. So
right.
they do need to see that. Because how many of us say, oh, you know, if I was around, then I would have did this, and this would have happened. That did happen. You know what I mean? And there's hundreds of accounts of it happening, but we just
right.
usually don't hear about it. So
that's, right.
that's why I'm working on that book. Why did I start writing? You know what? I used to have a teen book program in Oakland. I'm from Oakland, California. And I saw the impact that the books had on the sisters. And I have a comrade who actually wrote a book. He wrote a novel, and he kept telling me that I need to write a book. And I thought that was ridiculous because, you know, I'm more of hands-on, so I thought.
Right.
So
right.
I had my son, and he was maybe around 7 years old. And, you know, as soon as he started recognizing
you know, Spider-Man, Superman. I'm talking anywhere we went. He could see miles ahead. Mommy, there's Superman, Spider-Man. So I was like, okay, if you could recognize him, you could recognize some real heroes. So I start teaching him about our ancestors. And when we got to Marcus Garvey, I couldn't find anything that that was digestible for children that I felt was inspiring. You know, when I Googled the one book that existed, it had the brother in handcuffs. I'm like, that picture shouldn't exist in that book even. Because children don't understand, you know, injustice to that degree. So, you know, we had that situation, so that encouraged me to create something just for him, and then someone else saw it. In addition to that, a piece that I've actually never shared with anybody is right before we got to Marcus Garvey, we covered Huey P. Newton. And after I told him his story, my son was so moved, he then asked, you know, well, where is he? Is he alive? And I told him he had an illness, and, you know, that illness led him into the situation that, you know, he ended up being murdered. So my son cried. He cried himself to sleep. He woke up the next day. He was still upset. He mentioned it to me again. He was like, you know what? I'm still upset, Mommy. He was like, but you know what? It's okay. You know why? And I was like, why? He was like, because I'm going to finish his work. I was, man, done.
Wow.
I was like, that's what I'm talking about at seven. So at that point, I could see the crucialness of our children learning about our successes, as well as, you know, our hardships and whatnot, just learning an accurate account of what's happened and what needs to take place. So that's where the passion developed. And just, you know, again, like I said, if you focus on the children, the parents are just automatically going to be included. If you put the kids on the list, the parents are plus one automatically, and you're going to fill that knowledge club up.
Right.
Good. That's
heavy. I want to stress. Uh-oh.
Oh, okay, I'm back. But yeah, I believe in creating things and protecting them. I don't have time to focus on hating white folks or anybody else or worrying about anything outside of what we do. What I'm trying to focus on is what I need so I can make something work. And then if somebody comes against that, needing to handle that. But
absolutely.
That's what my focuses are, is just creating and protecting. Because we don't need permission. I mean, you know, Caucasians are not our parents. They're not our grandparents. They're not our ancestors.
That's right.
We don't need to ask them for shit. So
right.
We need to stop trying to fill out petitions and all kind of just begging all the goddamn time. Excuse me, but I'm very passionate about this part.
Right.
But
you
know
right.
What I'm saying? We are continuously begging people who do not have our best interests at heart, and they shouldn't. But the first thing that we need to do is to understand that we are a nation, and it's even an advantage to be so spread out all over the world. We got more territory.
Right.
You know what I mean? Wherever we at, we could put it down.
We could
go back home, or we could stay where we at. We just need to be African wherever we are. We need to stop saying I'm Jamaican, I'm South American. You African. We need to
go
be pan-Africanist. That's what we need to focus on. We don't. Again, need to say we need to put this measure on the ballot so that they'll allow us. We don't need permission for nothing. We need to make
right.
it, and then if you want to work some magic and making sure that nobody can come and mess with it, then that's your part. You can go do that, but we're not going to wait for that first.
Right.
We're going to get the resources and do it. I started a library center in Senegal just because I met a brother who was in Senegal who says he is responsible for creating, you know, just different centers, or not even centers, but different businesses in Senegal. So I'm like, oh, is there a library? Is there an internet cafe? And he said, no. So, okay, what do we need? So we just start collecting donations, and next thing you know, there's a center for seeds in literature and the arts in Senegal without asking nobody outside of us for help.
Oh.
So we just collect African-centered materials.
Beautiful.
As well as training materials. So our people there can take on trade so that they can create better environments and situations and jobs and whatnot for themselves. And we focus
beautiful.
On them
beautiful.
Kicking wall off, you know, not going and try to teach them a bunch of English or nothing like that. We got enough whitey language in the world.
Straight up.
So just trying to keep them empowered. But I just say that to say that if someone is listening on this line or is on this line and has an idea of something they want to do, just do it. And then just let others know what you're doing. And, you know, if we can assist, we could help out, then we could fall in place and just do that.
Absolutely. absolutely.
Oh, my website.
Yeah, you know I'm going to ask you. You know I'm going to ask you. Tell me the website.
My website is www.seeds, like plants, seedsbookpublishing.com. And my email address is Akua Agusai, which is AKUAAGUSI at gmail.com.
You said Seeds Book Publishing.
Yes, seedsbookpublishing.com.
That's got to be mandatory, brothers and sisters. If you have children, if you don't have children, if you got nieces, nephews, cousins, anybody that's that needs a help, even some adults, for real, Sister Cool. But any of our youth that have to be reeducated. Most of our youth, unfortunately, are in these killing fields. They're in the public education system, so we got to deprogram them. We need Sister Akua's books. We need these books.
Dr. Umar Johnson and I are also working on a book that's geared towards girls on self-esteem. That's a huge problem. There's a few people on this call tonight that mentioned that. If we can get the sisters to tighten up in all areas, it's just that's nation building at its finest, because brothers don't want to turn to each other. So if we have these sisters tighten it up and they step up the standards of what they're looking for before some kind of a union, then we could see ourselves going another direction. Black love is the nucleus of this revolution. So if we could focus on that. What'd you say?
Go ahead. I'm going to let you finish. Go ahead.
I would love to see more workshops and conversations surrounding it. I mean, we need to really conserve our black unions and focus on them. There's so much growth that comes out of it. Of course, nation building, repopulating the planet, children come from it, and then we got to focus on the children. So we need to provide, optimum nutrients, shelter, clothing, everything that a community would need, we would then focus on. So automatically, we are creating our own and sustaining our own communities just in focusing on the family.
Right.
So we need more.
I was going to say that a wide awake black man wouldn't turn to another wide awake black man, but in 2012, boy.
Right.
Woo! 2012,
yeah.
Boy. There's some undercover brothers out there, even in the conscious, so-called conscious community. You under the covers, you nasty thing. Seeds Book Publishing. Let me get back to that. Seeds Book Publishing. Get an email out one more time. So,
the email is akuaagusai@gmail.com. That's akuaagusai@gmail.com. And the website is seedsbookpublishing.com. So if you're interested in also being published, I started a publishing company, not just for myself, but for other African-centered artists that are looking for somewhere to get their work released, then, send me a message and we can get some conversation started that way too. Because the whole over-censoring thing, I'm not with. So that's why I started my own publishing company in the first place.
That's what I'm talking about. Panthers on the prowl. Panthers are on the move. That's what I'm talking about. Sister, don't go anywhere because they're going to have some questions for you. Let me bring another call in here at area code 919-510. 919-510. You're on the air, Black Power Radio. Are we our own worst enemy? Can we develop and defend our black youth? Have we lost hope? Black Power, talk to us.
Sure we can. This is Minister Dabi out of where North Carolina does business.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm great, brother. Now that I hear what's going on and I can connect with folks that's talking about putting unity in the community. I just wanted to give folks a little bit about what we're doing in where North Carolina does business.
Okay.
We're actually building a community that's of, for, and by Nubian people. We are operating on a land mass about 100 acres wide, a little over. And what we've been doing is, connecting with other cities and letting them know that, the intent is a relief zone. The intent is an area, a disaster that our people can come to in the event that they're not prepared in their current cities. There's a lot. I mean, you've seen Hurricane Sandy down in the New York area. We went down to the New York area. We bought fruits and vegetables, watermelons, and our own water down to 125th Street from North Carolina. I personally did that. And so that was to make our people aware that the folks over in the South are concerned about you. You are in a police state. You are in a flood zone. And so we must be aware of and be prepared for these occurrences, natural or otherwise. Some of them are induced. Others are natural. And so what we're doing is creating a unified front and getting over the divisional thinking of some, not all, and understand that the attack is on all of us, no matter what you call yourself. They want to, the genocidal attack is on all of us. And so what we're saying is we're creating a release zone, a disaster area, so that in the event, you know, your area becomes contaminated or whatever the case may be, we have our own water supply. We have our own electric supply. We're not on any grid. And there's a purpose for that. Yeah, we're not on no grid. There's a purpose for that because, and that goes into legal issues with contract. We don't want to be under contract with anybody because it's like a slave saying, I want to be free, but yet you're contracted up with the slave master. And so they're saying, well, you want to be free. And then when we let you free, allegedly let you free because nobody has control of anybody free, you don't know what to do. You run back and say, well, I'm not prepared. Let me come back and get prepared. No, we're saying prepare yourself now. As the sister was speaking about, as well as other callers, we're saying now that in North Carolina, NoWoosForTamaRae.org is one website, and there's other numbers, 888-568-1984, extension 503, and this is a direct line to us. We actually have about two units up, and we plan on building about maybe 50 to 75 units on that 100 acres, and so we're going to have that secured, because what's happening now is these folks, since the current recapture of the presidency by Barack Obama, there has been threats made by the other man or mankind in reference to harming or assaulting Nubian people. Okay, we have occurrences that have occurred. You have a sister, I believe, in Oklahoma or a city in the Southwest somewhere. They found her chopped up or burned or whatever the case may be. And then you have other attacks that have been going on sporadically. This is what inspired us to bring our own community and secure it.
Yes, sir.
Build it from the ground up and secure it. So, therefore, policy, which we call police officers, they're not police officers, they're policy officers. So what policy are they implementing? Well, they're implementing the policy of the corporation. Okay, and so these corporations seek to enslave the consumer. The root word to consumer is consume. And so this is what you're doing. And we're supporting them and saying we want our own. You cannot support the enemy and then say you want your own. You have to put your money in your own people. That means you must buy black. You must support black. And this is how we begin to build an infrastructure economically so that we're not dependent upon them. Because they just said that Cyber Monday, folks spent almost $1 billion. Now, half of that was us. Okay, half of that was us. Now, we take a dollar from a billion people, that's $1 billion. We can have our own community, and then that'll be the prototype that we implement in every city that we own, that we control, that we patrol.
That's right. Beautiful. Beautiful. Give that number out one more time.
NoWoosForTamaRae.org is the email address and the website, and the number is 888-568-1984. Extension 5 or extension 3?
888-568-1984.
Extension 5 or 3.
Extension 5 or extension 3, and it's called TopTamaRae.org, right?
NoWoos, NoWoosLES, the number 4. TamaRae, TamaRae, is how it's pronounced, .com.
Beautiful.
All right, and so, yeah, we were in New York 2 weeks before Hurricane Sandy, and we told them in New York, you need to get out of here. You need to get out of here. You're in a flood zone, and you're in a police state.
Uh-huh.
So prepare yourself. And they were unprepared. New York was unprepared.
Yes,
so we're saying we must begin to get prepared. You must prepare the sisters. You know, we must. You must understand how to operate in the dark. If the lights went out tomorrow, do you know how to navigate in the dark? Do you know which way is north, east, west, or south? Do you know where your food supply is? This is what's happening. This is the time that we're in, and we're not training for that.
Right, right. We're going to start training. If we're not training, we got to start training. And that's important. You're doing an important work, Brother DeBiz, an important work. I don't have to tell you that, but I just want people to know what you're doing and to support what it is that you're doing. And you know we got your back 100%.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Listen, brother, thank you for that. Please keep us updated on the moves. I'm going to re-announce that number, re-announce that extension, and all of that, because I want people to support and to be prepared. You got any final comments?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we're actually actively engaged. You know, we help folks maintain their land. You know, we do a whole lot of things legally because there's a massive displacement going on. Okay, and the first thing that the enemy needs to conquer is land. And so we're assisting folks in keeping their land. When they conquer the land, they steal the minerals. So this is why we have created this community to hopefully be duplicated amongst the different cities, because this whole land mass is predominantly ours. We own that. All right?
Right.
So we need to get out of these divisional frames of mind with each other, because you representing this or you representing... No, they're coming to kill all of us. So we're saying that we don't care what your ideology is. When you're hungry, you need to eat. You don't care if I'm a Muslim or Hebrew or whatever.
Right.
You don't care what I am. When you're hungry, you need to eat. And so
this is
what we're saying. We're going down to the basic principles, and we're representing that. And I brought, you know, I brought a van load full of watermelon. There's video of it. Somebody took video of it, so they'll see me down there with it, where the sisters are coming to get tomatoes and onions and all of that from me. So I'm not talking. I'm actually doing this stuff. And so
that's
I brought it all
about.
The way from North Carolina to 125th Street between 7th and 8th Avenue. And while they were selling books and shirts, I had fruits and water.
That's what I'm talking about, brother. And we got to link up with you more and support you more, brother. Support you more. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your efforts. I mean, just on behalf of our people, thank you, black man, because we got to stick together and step up together, brother.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your call, brother. Appreciate you, brother.
Peace. Hotep, Rahabat, Black Power.
Peace. Hotep, Rahabat, Black Power. I mean, how can you not be inspired? How can you not be inspired? We're talking about saving our youth. We're talking about, are they too far gone? Can they be developed and defended? I want to bring Brother Mike back in here. Brother Mike, who is our West Coast regional representative, he's got the new Black Panther Party hats. He's got the new Black Panther Party shirts. He's probably, by next week, going to have some new Black Panther Party pants and shoes and... Yeah, brother, tell us how we can get a hold of this material. How can we get our shirts, our hats? How can we get whatever you got going on?
Black Power, brother. It's not hard at all. We have snapbacks, new Black Panther Party snapbacks of any color. We have T-shirts, turquoise, yellow, black, and red, and white. We have the pink coming in, brown, gray, all green. All kinds of different colors coming in now, so I went ahead and upgraded up on the logo, so the logo is going to look official to match the logo for the hat. Right now I'm working on a few other things, a few other items I'm working on. Talked to a brother that actually makes his own incense, and like I said, his incense is selling over 100 countries right now, and also over Los Angeles, and he's going to make our own Panther incense and burning oil, especially for New Black Panther Party. So we will have our own official...
Wow.
incense and oil for our own selves, and I will make sure that I will actually ship these out to the chapters, certain chapters, or not certain chapters, each chapter on me, just so you can get a chance to make some kind of money. The brother gave me a good deal. It's the first brother I actually met since I moved to Los Angeles. Literally, the first brother I actually met. Literally, touched down the scene. He's been my friend ever since then. And the brother's working with me with these businesses. He's selling my hats in his store right now. The shirts, the hats are being sold in another store out here. Bless the love. So it's not hard. If you want it, you can get it. RBG News with a Z. At Gmail, at 2012@gmail.com. Again, RBG News with a Z, 2012@gmail.com. Give me a size for your shirts and your hat. We're also working on our own line of boots, UGG boots for the sisters, because it is getting winter time, so we can start buying that European stuff. Also, our own specific fragrance as well for the sisters. So, you know, the thing is, like I said again, I'm trying to merge our people and everything that has something to do with our African culture, so that we will stop spending all our hard-earned money on the European and or mankind, as the Wapping brother was speaking earlier about, as far as that's concerned. So, yeah, RBG News 2012@gmail.com. You can get your shirts or hats. Just give me your order, what you want, and I will invoice you the price, and we'll go from there. One thing, RBG News Magazine. We have Dr. Umar Johnson. He decided that he wants to be the staff writer for our magazine. So we are so, so excited. Me, Sister Kua, Brother Sonic, and Sister Ikea, and other my comrades working hard on this magazine to get to push this thing out, so that we have our own conscious magazine of our own. Dr. Aswar Kwesi is also ready to get up on. He'll be here on the 8th of December. So we'll be interviewing him. Again, we already interviewed Cyrus Musetti and got his okay for the mag. So most of all the conscious leaders out here are ready to get to be a part of the RBG News Magazine, which is controlled by New Black Panther Party, which is a beautiful thing. So again, we're giving our people what they want, what they need, education through children's books, education through magazines. We're clothing you. Next thing we got to do is somebody got to create our own food. A restaurant or mom and pop, a corner store or some nature, so we can start feeding our people with our own brand of food. So it's all about us. It's all about the black man, black woman, unifying, using all of our ideas, and also using these comrades, these new people, for the skills that they have. You know, everybody can't be a soldier. Everybody don't want to be a soldier. This brother's good with computers. This sister's good with doing hair. Well, how about this? She can do everybody's hair, all of his hair in the organization. And the brother can cut either good lawn. That's all he does. Do lawn. How about this? He'll work doing lawn and pay his dues doing lawn. Whatever. The brother sit there is good at doing. Use it for that talent, because that's what they'll have fun doing. You don't want to put nobody in a position or get in a situation that they don't have no talent doing, or really no idea doing, or don't have fun doing. You know, make it fun for our people to be a part of an organization that's helping your people. You know, don't make it hard on them, and get a sense of leeway, because they're gonna need it. Trust and believe me, I learned my lesson. So anyway, Black Power, keep it moving, keep it strong. Make our solution, we will definitely find a resolution. Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. And once again, that's RBG News with a Z on the end. RBG News at G. Let me get it all right. RBG News 2012. RBG News with a Z 2012 at gmail.com to place your order for your brand new Black Panther Party shirts. With the logo and everything on it, and with your snapback hat. Go ahead.
One more thing. And for those out there that are journalists, for those of y'all that can write or have experience in writing in magazines, please give us a hit on RBG News 2012 at Gmail. Let us know your talent when it comes to working with magazines or writing articles. We definitely want to have the best articles for this, because again, this is for our people. It's going to be the number one magazine. It's going to hit the streets. It's going to support and create jobs for our people. And also, it's going to help along with the brothers in North Carolina with the land, because that's the major move that we was planning on doing with some of the money, was trying to create and get our own land so we could start having our own, creating and opening up our own businesses, and we have our own little Africa, our own Africa of our own right here in the hills of North America.
That's what Black I'm power. Talking about. Black power, black power. That's Brother Mike, West Coast Regional Representative, and it sounds like we're not just saying black power, sounds like we're doing some black power out here. I love it, I love it. This is the spot. Let me bring in our sister, who is the Deputy National Field Marshal of the new Black Panther Party. Let me get her in to weigh in on this situation. Can we save our youth? Are they too far gone? Black power, talk to us.
Black power, sir. Black power, family. This is Commander Queen Nadia Shakur, Chairman, Atlanta Chapter. Excuse me if I'm out of breath. I'm out here moving through the hells and smells of the ATL right now, comrades, headed back to my headquarters. But I wanted to give my piece on the issue because I don't want our people to be discouraged in thinking that because of the madness that's going on in this 2012 Babylon, that our youth cannot be saved. If we take this stance, people, then we are being hypocritical and counter-revolutionary, because you are the same black man and black woman that used to wild out. You're the same black man that used to gang bang and pimp and plunder. You're the same black woman that used to hoe and twerk it and bust it open because bands would make you dance. So if you understand the transformation that you went through and know that you're now wide awake and moving to liberate your people, how dare you turn your back on your youth because they're wilding out. They just need the same spark of change that sparks your mind. So
that's right.
I like to think, to me, one of the key things to organizing the youth, comrades, is consistency. One thing I've noticed from being in the movement for so long is that our youth are not blind. Our youth are not dumb. They see you moving, and they will get encouraged by this. But as soon as they see the same brother or sister that one minute gave them the black power fist and the next minute went and bought a bag of herb or went and busted something open at the strip club, then I'm like, oh, man, these people ain't with it. These people that's over here doing this part-time black power. We're not part-time Panthers. This is a 24-hour job. You cannot one minute say you're about liberating the nation, and the next minute only about liberating yourselves. The youth will see this, and they will go back to doing what they're doing, because you can talk about how dumb the youth are, how crazy the youth are, but the youth are consistent with bullshit. You understand me? The youth are consistent with gangbanging. They are consistent with Lil Wayne and Jay-Z lyrics, but they are not consistent with revolutionary culture and ideology. So we want to set an example, and we want to lead by example, brother. Seriously. Another thing I'd like to point out to my people is that the youth are in dire need of education. So like Conrad Mike just said, we cannot put our people in position and not utilize our skills. I think one of the key and critical factors to the destabilization of the Black Power movement is non-collective work. We love Kwanzaa, but we don't do anything Kwanzaa tells us to do. We need collective work and cooperation, collective work and responsibility. All we need to stop this organizational gangbanging, comrades. It's going to take all of us. We love to say all this rhetoric about a village and raising children and all this bull, but when it comes down to really sitting down and taking your ego out of the equation and going to the table with your black power skills, then we don't want to work together. The Nation of Islam, the New Black Panther Party, the BBLM, the Black Rise Liberation Party, everybody that's out here in these streets need to come together and put all our programs into action instead of deciding who has the best idea for liberation.
Straight up. Go ahead.
Seriously, brothers. Seriously. I'm out here on the streets every day talking to our youth, and the main thing that I've noticed is that they feel if they come into a consciousness or start doing anything positive, then they will be alienated. And we all know from peer pressure and the dumb things that our youth do to each other that they will fall victim to some form of peer pressure and disenfranchisement from each other. So that means we have to bring back the revolutionary culture, brother. That's the reason why down here in Atlanta, we're pushing the edutainment campaign hard. Edutainment, educational entertainment, because we have to bring back the revolutionary culture. We have to make our youth feel comfortable and proud of being black. And then once they feel pride in being black, then they will start to feel pride in another black person's essence. They'll start to honor their ancestors. They'll start to have more value in black life.
they will start seeing their brothers and sisters as human beings and not dogs that they can shoot down in the streets. They'll start seeing their sisters as queens instead of dogs that they can just brutalize and disrespect all over the radio and all over the television, brother. So my message to our people today is do whatever you can within your own home to bring back the African culture to your people, because you cannot wear Black Power Panther t-shirts and Kunta Kinte cloth and dread your goddamn hair up every day, and then you teach your children white supremacy. You teach your daughter Nicki Minaj. You should be teaching your daughter Yaa Santiwe. So this is my message to our people today, comrade. Go back to your house and take all that Black Power shit you don't got your mouth back home and teach it to your kids.
Straight up. Black Power. Straight like that. Straight like that. How can we get in contact? How can we get in contact with Atlanta? For those who want to help Atlanta, get that information.
Yes, sir. Anybody is in near Atlanta wants to contact the Atlanta chapter, New Black Panther Party, I'm willing and able to come to your city, your state, your village, your street, wherever you're located, and you need some information and you want your people to be trained up, the New Black Panther Party Atlanta will be deployed to your location. Email me at atl.nbpp@gmail.com. That's atl.nbpp@gmail.com. And I'm serious, brother, and I'm going to leave it with this. To my sisters, I'm about to really, really go hard on y'all in 2013, because if we want to talk about saving the youth, then we have to save ourselves, because we're the ones that bear the fruit. So I'm going to be coming at all my sisters with a hammer of truth, and I'm going to hug you afterwards, sister, but I'm about to pave the way and clear out this white supremacy out of your brain so you can start giving birth to kings and queens once again. Black Power, B.B. Fahodia.
Black Power, B.B. Fahodia. That's our Deputy National Field Marshal, lightning blazing the trail, Sister Nadia Queen Commander Shakur. I mean, damn. So listen, I mean, let me get this last. I mean, it's just like that, though. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just got to just say, damn. You know what I mean? But let me get this last call in here. And for those of you that are streaming with us, thank you for rolling with us. And like I said, let me get this last call in. It's 614-357. 614-357. You're on with me, Black Power Radio. Can we save our youth? Are they too far gone? What do you think? Black Power, your question, your comment.
Black Power.
Black Power, talk to us. Can we save our youth? Are they too far gone? Are they too far in the hole? Too far in the ditch? What can we do, Black Power?
Black Power, we can save our youth.
How can we do it?
Come to our chapter. Myself, I'll be in the street. My name is Mama Doll. I'll be in the streets every day talking to the youth, talking to the gangbangers. Put the gun down and pick the Bible up. Pick the school education up. Pick a job up. Stop killing each other. Also hanging around the shelter, because there's a lot of strong Black men in the shelter need to be known. I hang the men in the shelter a lot. Because there's a lot of strong Black men in the shelter that need to come out here and help with these young youth. Help these young Black men, young Black boys in the street, and get murdered every day by the police officer. Help these young Black men in the street stop killing each other. Stop raping.
Right.
Stop taking houses. And stop
right.
Doing all kinds of silly stuff. So I'm the only one, me and my two daughters, the only one in Columbus, Ohio, is in the streets every day talking to the youth, talking to the young ladies about interview with anybody they see, not knowing HIV is very serious, like syphilis is very serious. Herpes is a lifetime. So I'll be out there all the time doing my work, and as well, I work my own job and other jobs. But my main job is New Black Panther Party. I love doing New Black Panther Party. I wear my uniform every day, 24/7.
Right.
All up to shit. I'm well known in Columbus, Ohio. Well know, and I got a lot of supporters. They don't know how to kids be nothing bad about me, all good. So I would like for people to come to Columbus, Ohio, and help me get the new Black Panther Party up here like it's supposed to be. I'm a very organized person. I will go anywhere, any state, any city, and support
right.
Whoever to the fullest. I'm a supportive person myself. My word is bond. I keep my word. No, I'm not working.
Now, no doubt about it, and I bear witness to that truth. Any of you all who don't know this sister, get to know this sister very, very well. This is our sister, Mama Dogs. You know what I mean? You never heard a nickname like that. That's just the mama dog. She say she the head of the household. She running it, all right? She running it. And she's running through Columbus, Ohio, raising up black men and black women and working every day with the black youth. And then she say she will come to your city. This sister serves in the central region and in the Ministry of Recruitment. She's the Minister of Recruitment. She'll come in and help you to raise up your city. If you don't know how to explain this black power movement, this black nationalist movement, this pan-African movement, if you don't know how to explain all these ideologies, you don't know how to reach the people, you think they're too far gone, even though you've heard all this good talk, and we're showing you what we're doing. We're showing you what we're doing. If you heard it and you feel like you can't do it, call Sister Mama Dog. Sister Mama Dog, tell them how to reach you in Columbus and how to reach you across the world.
My number is 614-357-9186. Email me at mamadog@gmail.com. I also got an event coming up December 21st, December 22nd, and the 23rd. I will be communicating, I will be eating, and I will be sleeping outside at the men's homeless shelter. I will be doing every shelter every 3 months. So I'm asking all these so-called churches, all the organizations that are helping so-called helping black people like they're supposed to give me some blankets, some hats, some gloves. It's getting cold and it needs to be warm. The reason why I started the men's shelter, because we need these black men to support these black queens. So, you know, like I said, the women, we raise our kids, we raise the males, we raise females. So I'm a mother that got 5 daughters, and I know I got street sons. So I'll be in a men's shelter doing 3 days, sleeping, eating, and communicating with them, because they got stories. I mean, they lost souls. They need to be known. Grab these black men out of the shelter. Grab these black men to put uniforms on them when they become a new Black Panther Party member.
That's right.
So I'm just
right.
Getting mine.
Yes, ma'am. My sister is going to bring awareness to this homelessness issue. Not by talking about it, not by Facebooking about it. She's going to sleep down there with the homeless, and she's needing some blankets. Hell, it's cold outside. You're talking about sacrifice. For those of y'all that's, you know what I mean, thinking that, you know, there ain't no programs that people are out here doing stuff. Once again, that's Sister Mama Dog, 614-357-9186. MamaDog@gmail.com, Columbus, Ohio chapter of the New Black Panther Party. Sister, I salute you, and I say black power to you, Queen.
Black power, man. Black power, my brother. Oh, another thing, Brother Sean, before I get off, I'll be fixing the food. My daughter and my sister and my supporters, we fix the food for Friday and Saturday, bags with cigarettes in it, because you know a lot of people like to smoke out there. And another thing, on Sunday, we're doing a big meal. We're doing a barbecue chicken, potato salad, macaroni and cheese, veggie beans. You know, I don't do no swine. Banana pudding and all that for Sunday. And whoever's grabbing my van, I'm going to grab them and see if I can throw uniforms on them.
That's what's up. That's what's up. We're standing our people up. Our people want to help ourselves. It's us that got to be ready. Us and the new Black Panther Party, we got to be ready. Those of us that say we're on the front lines, we got to be ready. The people want help. And like my brother said earlier, if you're hungry, the people just asking who's going to give us the food. And so we appreciate you, sister. Black power to you.
Black power.
Black power. Hell, we snatching the damn cigarettes from you. Get them damn cancer sticks out of your mouth. Listen, brothers and sisters, I want you again to just think back with me. We've been here for a little while. We've coasted through for a little while. My brother James Muhammad, my sister Akua, my sister Sekhmet, my brother Mike, my sister Naiba, my sister Nadia, huh? My sister Mama Dog, my brother De Beers. I mean, I can just list Brother Shah, on and on and on. Those you've called Sister Queen Kashiba, Sister Warrior Woman. On and on and on. Those of you who have put in to this pot, and that's still not all of us. We have solutions out here. We have solutions out here. If you are serious, about turning around the condition of our people and turning around the condition of our youth in particular, there are answers out here. And you just heard from a few of us who have told you what we're doing. So when we ask the question, Can our black youth be saved? The answer is an affirmative yes. An affirmative yes. Our black youth can be saved. Can we defend them? Yes, we can. Can we define and develop them? Yes, we can. Now we have to put it all into motion. And so, again, support Brother Minister James Muhammad out of Jacksonville, Florida, with the University of Pan-African Excellence. Brother James, give that time one more time, brother. Give the time one more time. James Muhammad, you still with me? James Muhammad might have fell off. But again, support the University of Pan-African Excellence. That is an online educational
Black Power.
Hey, there he is. There he is. Let me get you black on. Thought you were gone.
Every Saturday, every Friday night, we have the online Pan-African University of Black Excellence, a venue for the new Black Panther Party and all black people all over the world in America. Starting at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You missed the venue last week, which we talked about how to save our children from white supremacy. This week, we're going into something much deeper, is educating our children ourselves and making sure we get justice in the educational system. So we're going to talk a lot about how to deal with it. Call 347-884-8047. That's 347-884-8047. And on Saturday morning, starting at 10:30, we have the current event news by youth, followed by Brother Sean, followed by the Seed Dropper Homeschool Network.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that's going to be, again, the number 347-884-8047. Venue is going to be expanding in the next few weeks into math and science, preparing your child for the SAT, preparing your child for the Scholastic Aptitude Test, the ACT, preparing your child to take the standardized state test. And we're going to talk about how to have your child finish high school by age 15. That'll be one of our topics coming up the next few weeks. But we really need you to join us, implement these Saturday programs, the homeschool, Saturday school, Seed Dropper Homeschool Network is designed just to do that, so you can have your own educational program in your home, educate your child yourself. As Honorable Black Muhammad said, the people who never treated you right won't teach you right. Let's teach our own children. Black power.
Black power. Black power. Thank you so much, Brother Minister James Muhammad, University of Pan-African Excellence. Support that. Support Sister Akua and the Seeds Book Publishing. Seedsbookpublishing.com. Get your children some books on Marcus Messiah Garvey and Yah Santiwa and all of our great ones. You heard her testimony. Her tell you about how it changed her 7-year-old son's life. Changed his life. And her 7-year-old son said he would continue the work of the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. Support our sister at seedsbookpublishing.com. Support Brother Shah in our National Ministry of Community Programs. Support the Peacekeepers and Brother Captain Dennis Muhammad from the Nation of Islam. Support their efforts on the ground. Support Sister Sekhmet and the Panther Cubs Initiative. The Panther Cubs covered under the blood soldiers. Support that. And support my brother, Brother De Beers. Support him 100% in the effort to get food, clothing, and shelter to our people. He said the number to call is 888-568-1984. Again, 888-568-1984, extension number 3 or extension number 5. Extension 3 or 5, 888-568-1984. That's our brother De Beers, who's moving watermelon water. He got his own generator. He said he's off the grid. He said he's teaching you how to survive in the darkness. If you live in, we all are living in a police state, in emergency zones, danger zones. The brothers and sisters are teaching you, teaching us how to survive. Again, 888-568-1984, pardon me, extension number 5, extension number 3. Support my brother, Brother Mike L. out of Los Angeles, California. Brother Mike, give them the website one more time, sir. Brother Mike, you still on with me?
Yes, sir. The website is RBG News, RBG News, with a Z, at
at 2012 at gmail.com. Again, RBG News, I'm sorry. What is the at 2012@gmail.com?
RBGnews2012@gmail.com. Place your orders today. New Black Panther shirts, new Black Panther hats, new Black Panther incense, RBG News Magazine, featuring Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson, featuring Brother Sara Sutton Seti, featuring Baba Ashra Kwesi, featuring the latest and the greatest amongst our people in hell, a black man and black woman right here from the hells and smells of North America have an uncompromising magazine. We're going to kick all the other magazines behind. Trust me. Going to kick their behinds. That's RBG News 2012 at gmail.com. So listen, brothers and sisters, and Brother Mike, I thank you so much, my brother. Black Power, stay strong. Salute to you. Congratulations on all that you're doing, and congratulations on your new appointments, and congratulations to all of the soldiers in the Los Angeles chapter of the New Black Panther Party. Stay strong, stay bold, stay black, and stay on point. Black Power. My brothers and my sisters, listen, you can hear it clear. If there was any doubt whether there could be programs produced in 2012, if the New Black Panther Party had programs, if we were just a bunch of people running around screaming black power and black and then going to hell home, we want to put that to rest. And we want to clean up that image. We're cleaning up the image of the New Black Panther Party. We are very much interested in building up our community, building up our people, saving our youth, saving our babies, saving our future, and saving our black selves. And so if you like what you heard and you can support any of these programs, you can get with all of these programs. Get with us right away. Join with us in the New Black Panther Party in the effort to develop and defend black youth, to work to educate our people, our youth, and build a movement that educates and teaches the community all the time who they are, what we're about, what we're supposed to be doing, so that we can stop this killing and stop the negative media portrayals of our people, so that this white man, as Sister Warrior Woman said, will no longer be able to use us as tools and fools and buffoons. Make sure that you leave your contact information. Well, hell, get with me on Facebook if you need to. Sean Quali on Facebook, K-W-E-L-I. C-H-A-W-N-K-W-E-L-I. Get with me on Facebook. Get with any of these brothers and sisters at their email addresses, their phone numbers, but leave your information. And again, if you believe that black power is an achievable goal, that is something that you know we can do, based upon what we talked about tonight, there should be no doubt. And if you are willing to use black nationalism and revolutionary Pan-Africanism as your vehicle towards your goal, then join with us in the New Black Panther Party. Our email nationally, if you have any questions or concerns, is nbpphq@yahoo.com. nbpphq@yahoo.com. We're setting chapters up all around the globe. All around the globe, and this is where it's at. If you believe in Huey, if you believe in Bobby, if you believe in Chairman Fred, if you believe in Kwame Ture, if you believe in Minister Malcolm X, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if you believe in the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, if you believe in Prophet Noble Drew Ali, if you believe in Ram and Snick and Cole, whoever you believe in, the New Black Panther Party has the umbrella for you. We are the organizations of organizations, the three O's, the organization of organizations. And so join with us again, nbpphq@yahoo.com. Support these programs and let's build the programs. And so it's black power for black people. It's all power to the people. It's freedom or death. And remember, if black people are not free, then there's nobody that's free. Black power.
And when we say this, the press calls us racists in reverse. Don't struggle only within the ground rules that the people you're struggling against has laid down. Why, this is insane. But it shows you how they can do. They make with skillful manipulating of the press, they're able to make the victim look like the criminal and the criminal look like the victim. Right now, when in New York, we had a couple cases where police grabbed the brother and beat him unmercifully. But when it comes time for you and me to protect ourselves against lynchers, they tell us to be nonviolent.